You're listening to When Christians Speak Online Talk Radio, broadcasting out of the Washington, D.C. metropolitan area. Today's voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. When Christians Speak is dedicated to lifting up the name of Christ Jesus and spreading the good news. Christian Speak Talk Radio is a non-profit ministry. We are dedicated to spreading the gospel of Jesus through our programs and special guests. We exist through the generous support of our listeners. If you are being blessed through this ministry and would like to give a love offering, go to our website and click on our donation page. Your donation will be processed through PayPal. Our prayer is that you may prosper, be in good health, even as your soul prospers.
Unto the Lord, for He is
When Christians Speak Talk Radio is a 501c3 nonprofit ministry, so all of your gifts to this ministry are tax deductible. So go out to our website, www.whenchristianspeak.com, and click on our donation page.
Oh, give thanks unto the Lord.
Challenge to change, where transformation begins with you. Change appears to be one of the biggest hindrances to growth in relationships that I have encountered while in ministry. Our focus is usually on someone else and what they have done or are doing to us, instead of us being accountable to God and making sure we're not a stumbling block to ourselves or others. Challenge to change is about us taking personal responsibility for our Christian walk as we face challenges and issues and how to overcome them through biblical tools and techniques that we will discuss on this show. Everything about this show is encompassed in us depending on the Holy Spirit to edify, enrich, and transform lives by introducing individuals to a personal encounter with God's unconditional love. That is where real transformation begins and ends.
So I got four people that's going to do a quick review for us, so we want to bring you up to speed. Okay? All right, I got Madeline. What stood out to you either in happy hour or service last Sunday? Okay. And you didn't know you had blind spots. Now you know. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor.
If you didn't know.
Now you know.
Now you know.
How many of you guys been excited about your blind spot? Okay, I see one and a half. Okay, talk to me. Why are you excited? Give me a mic right here. It was three people. Who raised their hand? Okay, all right. Why are you excited about it?
I'm excited because it means all the areas of my life can be better.
Okay, all right. Yes, ma'am.
I'm excited because I can get my healing.
Glory, okay, all right. Who else? And Chris, did you have a hand up? And Shay? Okay. Okay, we'll wait for you then.
I'm excited because I'm finally ready for a lasting change.
A lasting change, okay. Who else?
It's an opportunity for growth for me.
Okay.
So growth and healing is tied up into my blind spots.
Okay. Growth and healing is tied up in your blind spot. Tamika, you straight? Okay. All right, Ed?
To know what I didn't know.
To know what you didn't do. No.
Didn't know.
Okay, yeah. What does that mean?
Or what I didn't realize about myself.
You okay.
Know, I'm always trying to analyze myself, but I don't see what you see.
Okay, I got you.
And that's what the blind spot is good to be revealed to me for that purpose.
Okay. Awesome. Thank you, sir. All right, Chris, you got the mic.
Okay.
Just review, guys.
My blind spots were created by me as a safety feature or defense mechanism.
Okay, so what does that mean?
It means that it was used to shield me from something I didn't want to see or acknowledge.
Okay, all right. So guys, that's why you have you stuck in a certain area, because when you created that blind spot for your safety, what happened is you never grew past it. And so as that little boy, that little girl in that area, whatever that area is, then what happens is you stay in that area at that age. And then you're trying to process mature things with a childlike mind. Okay? So that's why we want to get a heal. So Bonetta, you can grow up. I mean, you know, I'm just saying. For you guys and guests, Crystal, that's the person I pick on. See, you can turn around and take a look at that person right there. Because she's always picking on me. But her blind spot is she does it in such a way where nobody can see it. See, that's what she do. I want to tell you, that's what happened. All right, just so y'all know. All right, Corey T, what you got for review? And then next person is Michelle.
Blind spots aren't good, they're bad.
Okay.
And they do cause accidents. Okay. And if you're not careful with them, I mean, it could just hold you back from your destiny with God.
Okay, all right. Why y'all laughing at that? Because we clarified that, didn't we? Okay. Chris, you didn't know that we had people here thinking that blind spots were good. Okay? So we had to straighten that out. And Chris is a co-worker of Megan and I. So just raise your hand so everybody. Okay. All right. Now they know who you are. Okay. All right, Michelle, what you got?
The best way to manage the emotion is to acknowledge it.
What does that mean to you?
A lot of times when people have said something or done something, I've been like, oh, no, it's okay. Uh-huh. And it's not okay.
Okay.
It's just not okay.
Okay.
And then I just let it fester and grow.
Okay.
And then the unforgiveness just turns into little Pac-Man just eating up things.
Okay.
So now I know that it's okay for me to go, okay, that made me mad.
Gotcha. Okay.
Right. Just so I don't go off on them.
Uh-huh.
Acknowledge that they made me mad, then maybe I can get past it.
Amen. All right. Michelle just got into my business. All right. Y'all ready to write some stuff down? Nicole, you ready? Ron, you ready? Anger is about present hurt. Anger is about present hurt. So it's what's going on right now. You mad about something. It just happened. Bitterness is about past hurt. So can you see where anger is starting to turn into something? So we got angry, and then we started to get bitter. So that means we thought about it, just like what Michelle said. Bitterness is anger and disappointment about being treated unfairly. Now, that could be either something that's really happening or something that you're perceiving to happen. You follow me? Bitterness is anger and disappointment about being treated a certain way, treated unfairly. And what happens is we get treated unfairly about something we order at the restaurant, and we don't let it go. So we're angry because it just happened, but then it turns into bitterness because we walk out of the restaurant with it, and it keeps festering, okay? You don't want to go deeper. Bitterness leads to resentment. See, everything that is good has stages, first the blade, first the seed, then the blade, then the four corn, that's the scripture. And so does ugly stuff. It starts all small. Person don't wake up in the morning and say, I'm going to kill you. They wake up thinking about all the stuff that had manifested itself, okay? So resentment creates emotional pain. Notice I didn't say physical pain. It's emotional pain. And it has a psychological weight to it. Remember how I asked y'all sometime, I said, put this in your right hand, put this in the left hand. All I told you was a word. And you put the word in your hand, and the word created weight. That's how what words do. They create weight, or they create lift, the ability to go up higher. So resentment creates physical, emotional pain that causes a psychological weight that becomes a physical pain. Y'all hear the stages of that? So what does it start out with? Once we got to resentment, it creates what kind of pain? Emotional. So who has the right to change that emotion? So the only reason it's emotional is because I start to think about it. Remember I told you about the guy at Lowe's? I shifted. Let me tell y'all a secret to some healing. Y'all ready for it? Create a game. You create a game like, okay, tell you what I'm going to do. I know this person's being nasty. They know they nasty. But I tell you what, I'm going to make a game out of it. Can he really make me mad? Can he really make me upset? Or can I play around with the thought life? And he's used to getting customers that talk a certain way. I mean, he talks a certain way to him, Corey. And as a result, the customers just say, oh, forget about it. Well, the game is, I'm going to stay as long as you stay. I'm going to play with you while I stay with you. I'm not meaning it in a mean way, but I'm going to walk out there in victory. You got goals that you got set. Play with the goals. You follow me? Don't take everything so serious. Can we do that? Because believers got a mindset about taking everything serious. But if you know you already won, why you got to be so serious? If you know he done bless you, why you got to be so serious? If you know he healed you, why you got to be so serious? Just make a game out of it. Just watch your children. They can't just sit there and do homework. Can they? They got to do something. The leg going to move out. You know, before you know it, they're going to throw the pencil up in the air, try to catch it, flip it around the back. They're going to play with a dog that's not there. I mean, watch how your children do stuff. And just, like, trip them out. You follow me? All right, let's get back to it. I'm trying to make resentment lighter. So once it goes to physical pain, then it has created a grudge. Y'all know what a grudge is, right? It latches. And once that grudge is created, that's when we go to revenge. I want to see your butt burn. Anybody ever want to see somebody's butt burn? Yeah. This side trying to be holy. This side trying to be holy. Faith over there, so I know we got it. Thank you, Faith, right there. Faith got my back. She got my back. I mean, seriously, you want to see him trip? You want to see him fall? What else y'all want to see him do? Y'all just be honest. Tamika, what you want to see him do? Give me a mic right here. We ain't talking to you, sir. We talking to her. What you want to see him do?
Get punched in the face.
Punched in the face. All right, she like that with those. She always punching somebody in the face. She get in the mirror in the morning, y'all put on makeup, she be punching herself in the face. What? Oh, this holy side over here, what else y'all want to see?
I had an instance where someone did something,
uh-huh,
and then they walked in front of my car.
Okay. Ooh, what do you think she was thinking? He said acceleration. You're thinking acceleration.
Yeah, the foot. And it's like, that's just not, no, I can't do that.
Okay.
But I'd like to.
Marcia?
Die.
Die? You want him to die? Okay.
Cease to exist.
Cease to exist. Okay. All right. I used to shoot people in my car, you know, until my grandson in the back seat saw it. How old was he when he saw me? He caught me shooting people. He was about eight years old. You know, me and him just chilling out, riding together and stuff. Somebody, you know, pull out all funny in front of you. And I just do like that. So, see, I told you I made it a game. And then what, Elijah, he said, Poppy, that's what he called me, Poppy. He said, Poppy, did you shoot that man? So there was that instance. Do I lie to my grandson and disappoint my father? Huh? Did I lie, honey? Did I tell you? What did I do? Did I tell him? Okay, did I tell him? I think I told him. I told him the truth. Then I stopped. He caught me, though. I was like, I mean, I'm true. But anyway, I mean, it was a good feeling. I enjoyed it. Yes, sir.
I've had instances where I've wanted people erased from history.
Okay.
Like, just no records at all.
Okay, ooh. Okay, all right. See, quiet people now. Quiet people. Yes, sir. Quiet. Claudia?
Traffic type thing, you want them to be stopped by the police up the road.
Okay. All right. Stopped by the police up the road. Yes, sir.
It's one of my guilty pleasures when I hear a country song come on saying that I'll pray for you, but it's usually One instance is I'll pray that, you know, when you're walking under a window, the pot slip off, hit you in the head. Or when you're going around the corner, pray your brakes fail on your car. Okay. I can't remember the song right now. But
that was the song.
Yeah, it's a very funny country song, but I just can't remember the name of it right now.
Okay, I pray that the window come out and get you. Okay.
So how do you handle traffic or being in traffic now since you don't shoot?
Oh, I just talk to myself. Okay. I just say grace. I say, phew. That's over. Yeah. I still got self-talk. Yeah. Like, you know, like the police, like with Claudia, I used to pray about that, you know, think, man, I wish that, and then the Holy Spirit told me, well, the police just miss you. So then I stopped using that one because, like, I just did something, and, you know, so.
Always say you reap what you sow.
Okay. You say, okay. All right. Yeah. All right, so I'm talking to the right people, though, right? So I can see. I see we got some anger, some bitterness, some resentment, some, okay, all right, okay. So now that y'all up to speed, all right, so somebody tell me this without reading it. I mean, you can read it, but give me your version of what it means. We're talking about blind spots, the definition of blind spots. Put it in layman's terms. Who wants to do it?
Or aspects we don't even know about that may limit the way we react, behave, or believe, that limit our effectiveness.
Okay, so put it in layman's terms. What does that mean?
Behaviors that you are used to doing that hurt you in all aspects of your life.
Y'all heard it, didn't you? Write that version down there. Okay. I know what they're going to say. Repeat it. What did you say? You can't repeat it.
Okay. It's the thing that I see. It's the thing that everybody can see but you.
Ooh, okay, yeah. Okay. Anybody else? Holy side, what's going on over here? All right, let's hear Tamika's version.
Something you don't know that's there that affects your life and you don't know it.
Okay, all right.
Every action has an equal or opposite reaction, but that's dependent on how you decide to react to it.
Okay, all right. You got one? No, go ahead.
Your profile or your personality can use some tweaking.
Okay. Personality and profile can use some tweaking. Okay. All right. Y'all picking on folk. You got the wrong person sitting beside you, boy. I tell you. Huh? Something going on over on that side. Yes, ma'am.
But how do you get people to see, like, the negative side? Like, if they're so used to doing something for so long, you know, and putting people down, how do you get them to see that?
Okay. All right. So what we're going to do in a moment, we're going to get you to see yours. Okay? So that way you'll be able to tell people. So what you don't know, Chris, is everybody else have already did theirs. And did you get yours, Karen? Because I know you know I'm in children's church. Okay, all right, so you're going to get yours too, okay? All right, we're going to do that in a minute. I hear two hands over here.
Personal traits that are on autopilot.
Okay.
That you have no idea exist, but it's affecting your life, every aspect of your life. That's the scary thing.
Okay, all right. Personal traits that you don't know exist that's affecting all areas of your life.
Important part that you shared with us for me was that it can be a habit that you cloak in a positive way.
Oh yeah, okay.
So I'm helpful.
Okay.
But then if you have to know everything, it's not helpful anymore. Okay. So it can look pretty to you.
Gotcha. Okay.
But it's offensive to other people.
Okay, awesome. That's good. All right, so those two, anybody else don't have theirs? Jerome, she pointed right at you, brother. All right. Yeah. Yeah, you don't have your blind spot, so you're gonna get yours too. Yeah. So repeat after me. Say, Jesus is the only one that doesn't have blind spots. All right, you got it, Bonnie? Okay, all right. Okay, everybody else, you got some. Okay, all right. So the three people just repeat after me. Say, Holy Spirit, and shut your eyes. Would you mind showing me my blind spot. So I can see it and accept it. And once you see it, just raise your hand so that way I know to move on. I see it. Okay, I got one. I see two. I see three. Okay. I see four. Okay. So I won't even ask you what it is unless you guys want to share. Anybody want to share? Okay. All right, I'm moving. Oh, okay. I'll give her a mic. Give her a mic.
Holding on to past pain.
Okay. All right. Yeah. Appreciate it. Okay. All right.
It was someone handed me a box. Uh-huh. So it was like usually not being able to ask for help.
Okay.
Or, you know.
Okay. All right. Not being able to ask for help. Okay. All right. You want to share or you good?
Same thing. Like not thinking I can do it all by myself.
Okay. I can do it all by myself.
Trying to do it all by myself.
Okay. All right. Anybody else? Okay.
Mine was, you know, particularly since I got sober, I'm thinking so much better. And okay. So I do tend to kind of overreact and I feel more of my temper. And okay. Sometimes by expressing that, I'm actually just putting hurdles in front of myself.
Okay. All right. Hurdles. Okay. All right. Let me show y'all unforgiveness for a second. Shay, come up for a second. So when we are offended, what happens is we grab data, okay? Shayla says I'm ugly to me, okay? All right? So what do you see? Describe what you see. Colors, huh?
Red.
Like red. Okay, red like a bull, okay? All right? All right, what else? Red like a target.
You feel hot.
You feel hot? Okay. All right, describe the data. Describe the information that you see. She has an afro. What color is it? Blondish. What kind of earrings she got?
Hoops.
Okay. What kind of shoes she got on? What's she wearing? Jeans. So now, any what color skin does she have? Okay.
We are. Yeah, we are.
Well, that's it. Carol, you supposed to be controlling things over there. All right. How tall is she? Is she about my height?
Yeah.
Okay. Okay. All right, so when you get offended, what happens is you capture data. So the next time I see, okay, thank you. The next time I see a red shirt and she goes to say something to me, I judge her based off her. Because the data is in there. I'm talking to somebody who got jeans on. Who got jeans on? Don't have to be female. I just grab Daniel. He got jeans on. So he goes to talk to me, but I'm seeing jeans. And that those jeans are reminding me of the last person I talked to. Who got the hoop earrings? I knew she would have it. So Bonetta, she goes to say something like good morning, but I'm still judging Bonetta based off what Shay said. She got hoop earrings on. You follow me? So now take that information for one person that you are in unforgiveness towards. Let's say you got six people you're in unforgiveness towards. Does anybody stand a chance? Because you're going to mix and match that data, and you're going to be mad just when you see them, and they hadn't even said anything. You walk up to the counter to order something, and all that data's in there, and you give them an order that you know they can't fulfill. Because who are you really mad at? The other person. So I just want to know, let you know that the quicker you can forgive, the quicker others won't have to suffer based off your resentment and bitterness, including yourself. Okay? All right, everybody got that? Just want to put a new spin on my favorite topic, forgiveness. I remember we said acceptance of exposed blind spot. In order to get healed, I got to do what? I got to accept it. If I can't see it, then somebody else does. All right, everybody got it? Just a quick review. This is a new one for you. I want y'all to read this one all out together. You can find the answer if you care to, or more accurately, if you dare to. What does that mean? Can't keep saying you don't have the answer. Because what is Jesus? It says in Scripture, when the Spirit of truth has come, that's the Holy Spirit, he will guide you into all truth. So you can find the answer if you care to, or more accurately, if you dare to. And one of the things we learned about blind spots is, remember one of the other definitions I gave about you are so afraid to find out what's in there because it'll change your whole world. You follow me? But there's anointing upon healing while it's being taught. You follow me? Anybody can identify with this? You say you want to know, but do you really want to know? Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor. Neighbor. Right here, do you really want to know? What's your neighbor say? Oh, you got a question? You got a question? Oh, you got it.
So my question is, my blind spot was or is not being able to ask for help.
Okay, all right.
So once I'm healed of that, I mean, so this is a question and a statement.
Okay, all right.
I guess I don't want to just be asking people for help just to, you know how some people just ask to because they know they can.
Okay, all right.
Opposed to because it's something that they really need.
Okay.
You understand what I'm saying, the difference?
So the first week of healing, you're going to ask just because you can. And then you're going to reel yourself in. I'm just going to be honest with you. Because when you approach people this time and ask, it's going to come from a different place. It's going to come from worth instead of need. Y'all make sure you write it down. Those who are like to be in control, you don't like to ask people because you've been hurt. So it's going to come from a different place of worth. Because I'm worth something, I can ask instead of because I need something. See, if you've been hurt, what happens is your self-worth is so small in a certain area that you can't take the rejection of someone saying no. When your worth is different, then what happens is when you ask, you're asking out of worth. So a person is compelled to do something. And if they can't, they'll just say it, but they won't come up with lies. Y'all been lied to before? It's a song, lied to, cheated on, stumped on. That's the country thing version right there. Okay. So in the beginning, you will start to just ask because you can. And you'll walk around, and this feels pretty good. And then that's only going to last for a few days. Because the Holy Spirit is going to tweak it. Yeah. So it's a funny place. Yeah. How many of you guys that deal with control issues have been hurt? Okay. Yeah. And it's intense hurt. It's not just surface hurt. I mean, the person had the ability to do it. You saw them. And they said no. Or they didn't give you an answer at all. She rubbing the head, right? You experienced it. You know they could help you. And you are the type of person who never asked for help. And when you did, you just got, I mean, it was a desperate need. Y'all follow what I'm saying? And they not only said no, but they, how you put it, talked about you. And it got back to you. Y'all ever encountered that? Where you asked for help? You was in dire need. And they talked about you, and then they read it to the family, and the family found out about it. And y'all know what I'm talking about? Then they took it to Facebook. He called himself bitch, and he can't even afford to get his car fixed for $50. You follow me? You get ugly. All right, five blind spots blocking God's work in us. So these are hidden beneath the ones that you discovered about yourself. Okay? Let's read this one, first one. Justifiable resentment blinded by bitterness. That's number one. Let me just go over the five first. Number two. Y'all ready? Arrogant entitlement blinded by what? Number three. Stubborn resisted blinded by denial. And I got an excellent example of that is Pharaoh, which we'll talk about how God permitted plagues to come on him. And each time he said, okay, I'm going to let the people go. And then what did he do? He come up with another one. And come up. And each one of those plagues, like locusts, that represented a god of that nation. So what gods do we have when we try to go into resistance towards what God wants to do in our life? Number four, disconnected isolation, blinded by detachment. Now, I'm not saying everybody is this way, but a lot of people, because they were hurt, they use the fact that they don't like being around people. Where in reality, that hurt produced the isolation, the detachment, I'd rather be by myself. What's this one? Willful arrogance, ignorance, blinded by disobedience. So God wants to give you truth, but you decide that you don't want to know truth, because if I know truth, then I have to grow. Any questions on these? Okay, all right. Somebody need more time? Everybody understand what entitlement is? I deserve to because I am special. You ever seen people stand in line, then all of a sudden somebody just walk right up past everybody and go to the front? Everybody in line, you see them turn colors.
Entitlement.
Mm-hmm.
One time I was driving to work, and as I was leaving the neighborhood, there was someone standing in front of my car.
Okay.
And they were walking across the street, and I was pulling up to them, but then they looked at my car and stopped.
Okay.
And then told me to go drive around them. And I was just like,
whoa.
What?
Whoa.
That's a level of entitlement I've never seen before.
Wow.
They told me to drive around their person.
Okay. Wow. So how much the car weighs? And how much
at
the person
weighs?
At least
two tons.
See, they better be glad the shooter wasn't there. Man, Chris, that's a new one. Justify resentment. We feel that the severity of the offense justifies our continued resentment. First thing when I start talking about forgiveness, first thing people say, but you don't know what they did to me. And what I tell them is, you don't know what resentment is going to do to you. It's a big difference. There's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion. It goes somewhere and it does something. Can I share something with y'all? I don't believe in fear teaching, but I do believe in truth teaching. So anytime that we get a thought, they call it a stronghold. The stronghold starts by having a thought. Right now the brain pattern is closed. I get something that happens and it starts to create a groove. And the groove gets bigger the more that I think about it. So as a believer, and you're responsible for what you've been taught. So if you get taught on forgiveness and you choose not to walk in it, then the consequences are quicker. Because as you're being taught about forgiveness, the brainwave is opening to receive what you're being taught. So the brain grabs the thought that you've been, a word, like you in college, you getting master's degree. So there are certain words that when you hear them, you automatically lock into it because that's the terminology that you've been studying. And it's the same way with the way our brain processes information. If you hear anything about cleaning, your brain automatically like, yeah, I got that part right there because I've been studying cleaning, listening to cleaning, doing so forth and so on, and it grabs it. So the more you know about a specific subject, the quicker your brain adapts to it and feeds it. So if you've been taught on forgiveness, if you've been at this church for 8 years, guess how big that thing is? It's pretty big. And then when you choose not to forgive, that source is still wide open. And it says, okay, what am I going to do with this? Because they know better. You follow me? I hear a whole lot of hallelujahs on that one. All right. Have you experienced deep betrayal? See, betrayal goes deep. But have you guys ever asked somebody, do you remember such and such that was painful and they don't remember what they did to you? Yeah. Did you want to smack them or what? They don't remember what they did. But who's carrying it? That you might have been the 56th person they insulted by 9 o'clock and they just got up at 8. So you just want a mini. Might come your way.
What happens if they don't forget about it, they turn it into a joke?
Yes. Yeah. I saw that on a... one of the talk shows when they first came out, I don't know who the guy was, because I know one of the dudes, all he does is who's the baby father and all that. I don't know. Yeah. But this talk show brought a guy on his show that the person said had hurt him in high school. And this guy had no clue. Didn't even remember the person's name. So turning it into a joke, that just deepens the pain. It deepens the pain. And it's no use in continuing to talk to them about it because they see it that way. Most of the time they are bullies and they laugh about all pain that they created. And so your job is just to forgive them. Yeah, yeah. That's a good question. They just laugh about it because to them it was funny. Write this down. Y'all are not going to be excited about this one. But Megan, if you heard that person when they really laugh and you heard that person when they laugh when they did what they did, laughter is a form of pain. Who said yeah? Yeah. Can you talk about it? I mean, what you just said it, you said.
I just know that's because people that laugh a lot at other people, I just know they're in pain. It's just, I intuitively know that.
So,
but I had a question.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so this whole thing about forgiveness,
mm-hmm.
to me, it's, I can forgive.
Okay.
But my question is, especially when it's someone really close to you.
Okay, all right.
Family members.
Mm-hmm.
That you have forgiven.
Okay.
And you go back and like, oh, that's okay.
Okay.
It's all good. I'm going to forgive her. And they do it again.
Okay.
And then you go back. And they do it again.
Okay.
And I'm talking 20 to 30 years of this.
Okay, all right.
So how do you heal from that
okay.
and not feel the pain from that?
Okay.
What do you do with that?
Okay, good question. Mm-hmm. All right, so what happens is the scripture says, not Paul says, scripture says, a wise man sees danger and hides himself. So if I see that you produce hurt for me, then I'm going to set a boundary up with you. And that boundary is going to say, I can tell Wayne, don't cuss at me. But Wayne can continue to cuss. The boundary says, when you cuss, I'm leaving. So I didn't tell him what he couldn't do. I just told myself what I was going to do. So you set a boundary up that says, when you do such and such, then I'm leaving. I'm not taking this, so forth and so on. Okay. Now, Wayne's job is to see to it that he busts my boundary because he doesn't want to change. He wants me to change. But when loving you is hurting me, I'm not going to wait on him to change. I'm going to change because I have the right not to put up with your stuff. So I'm going to forgive you, but my boundary is set that when it happens again, these are my responses to that. I'm not waiting on you because in my pain, what I do from the healing of myself does not inflict change on you, then maybe it's not time. Maybe I shouldn't spend as much time with you. Because, see, most of the time, let me finish it. Most of the time, people who do things, they get rewarded for it. So there's only two reasons why we do things. To increase pleasure or to avoid pain. That's the only reason why we do things. So if he keeps cutting me down, it's obvious that has worked for him his whole life. But guess who he runs into? One person that's not willing to take it. So you just got to keep forgiving them because otherwise you carry the weight of that. Good, good.
So that's exactly what I did.
Okay, all right.
I put boundaries.
Mm-hmm.
But then it's, I don't know, it's hard because it's a family member.
Gotcha, okay.
So
because this is a safe congregation, can you tell me the nature of the family member? Is it a
mother-in-law.
Mother-in-law, okay, mm-hmm. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mother-in-law, yeah. Okay. Yeah, that okay. I loved on, loved on.
Okay.
And I got to that point where it's like, you are hurting me so badly uh-huh. that I can't do this anymore.
Okay.
But I think she knows, but she doesn't know, but okay. I won't confront her because okay. I don't want to create,
okay.
you know,
okay.
problems.
Okay.
So I'm just quiet about it, but okay. I just don't call anymore.
Okay.
So my boundaries were,
mm-hmm.
I'm not going to cut you completely off
okay.
because you're my husband's mother.
Okay.
So it's birthdays, Christmas.
Okay.
That's it.
Okay.
You know. Right. So, but then I feel it's not my nature to be that way. I'm uh-huh. a very loving
okay.
person. So it's very hard for me
okay.
to set those boundaries and not come around and not do for her what okay. I used to do for
okay.
her.
Okay.
It's very hard for me. But every time I do it,
uh-huh.
she hurts me.
Okay. All right.
So it's hard, I don't feel at peace with it.
Okay.
But I had to set those boundaries.
Okay. Right.
Yeah.
So what do you get out of her liking you? Why is it so important?
Because it's my husband's mother.
Okay. My husband's mother. Okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
And what if she doesn't like you? What are you afraid would happen if you looked at the reality of that?
Oh, I know she doesn't like me.
Okay, all right.
I know she doesn't like me.
Okay. So what do you
get? That has been, I wasn't too smart about it. It took me 30 years to realize.
Okay.
Oh, she doesn't want me around. Okay. I will make that happen for you.
Okay.
But then she misses out on all of my goodness. See, she wants what I give her and do for her. But then once I do that, then she's done with me, and she wants more.
Wow. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Mm-hmm. But she doesn't see that. Okay. You know, she's manipulative. She knows what she's doing, but she will never admit it.
Okay. And what do you get out of her hurting you? Y'all write this down. It's called secondary pain. I see you.
Mm-hmm.
Secondary pain. You know, you hear about secondary smoke? Mm-hmm. So I'm getting something out of this because I keep doing it. What do you get out of it?
Oh, I don't do it anymore. I'll only do it just for my husband and because it's just my nature.
Okay.
I think birthdays are important.
Okay.
You know, Mother's Day, she's older out of respect.
Okay.
But it's not that everyday call. It's maybe 4 or 5 times a year.
Okay.
And that's it. So that's how far I've dialed back.
Okay. All right.
Mm-hmm. And I don't expect anything from her anymore.
Okay.
I don't expect for her to say she's sorry or whatever.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. All
right. So if you got 4 bleeds a year before you die, you can come up for a second? No, let me get somebody else so that way. No, she needs to feel it. You can come on up. Now, you got 5 cuts before you bleed to death, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, ladies, I need ladies to cut her. Okay. They're just going to do something like that, okay? And you got to feel it. So when they cut you, you got to feel it, okay? Now, she only gets 5 cuts before she bleeds to death, okay? Now, at any time, you can choose not to go 5. Wait a minute. Hold on a second. They ready to cut you up, buddy. So you got 1, 2, 3, 4. I need one more lady. Okay. Yeah, they cut her guts out. Anyway. All right. Now, Monica, you get to determine whether you bleed to death. So there's going to be 5 cuts. So each one is your stepmother's reaction to your goodness. So the only person that can stop the bleeding and the cutting is you. Follow me? So if I can get you guys to come in front of her so she can see how many cuts she got. And so you're saying what cut is that? I mean, but what are you doing to her? Just think in terms of, what is it, stepmother? No, not stepmother. Mother-in-law, okay. Insult. What is it? You stood there and you took it. You did. They're cutting the corpse down. Y'all follow me? Did y'all see it? Yeah, right there. So why didn't you stop the bleeding? Why didn't you stop it? Okay.
Because I just think about God and how we're all sinners.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And none of us are perfect.
Okay.
God never turns his back. I feel like I'm turning my back on her.
Okay.
I just stopped.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I appreciate the honesty. Okay.
Yeah. So it's hard. I mean, for me, I'm doing really good.
Okay. All right.
By cutting all that other stuff out.
Okay.
That I used to do.
Okay. Appreciate the honesty.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do y'all know scripture where it says that because there he couldn't do no mighty work? So he left that place. The scripture says he could there do no mighty work, so he left that place. There's another scripture that says that when you walk into their house and they don't receive you, then you shake the dust off your feet, meaning that where I was a blessing. Now I have removed my blessings from that place. Jazz Curly and I have shut down places because of how we were treated. And we just stepped out and shook the dust off our feet. So find scriptures where you see that Jesus did not take mess. Okay? Because I just want to make it clear about when you say he doesn't turn his back on us. Okay? All right? All right, go ahead. 1, 2. Oh, thank you, guys. And thanks for your boldness, though. Continue to come back. Okay? Who? Okay.
I understand how you're feeling, but I also think that you want to please your husband to continue the relationship with your mother-in-law. But if she continues to treat you like they did up there, just back up. Like, how your husband feel about the way that his mother treats you? Does he say anything?
Well, give him a mic.
Okay.
Okay. All right. So, come here, honey. So, the scripture says, y'all talking about scripture. I'm taking no cut. Okay. This is a different scenario, honey. The scripture says, "For this cause will a man leave his father and mother and cling to his wife." The scripture then says, "For this cause will a woman leave her father and mother and cling to her husband." Men have a tendency towards gravitating towards being married to their wife. And come up for some of them. But clinging to their mother. What kind of relationship is this? Okay? Okay? I'm married to her, but my mom still has the final say. It's not talking to the woman. It's talking to the man. So the man, when he gets married, the scripture says, "For this cause will a man leave his father and mother." And how you going to leave? And cling to his wife. So mom, if mom call and wife call, you better pick up the phone for the wife. Absolutely. Follow me? Y'all see what it said? Thank you. Okay. Thank you. Thank you, mom. You go ahead and sit down. Sit down, mom. You can't marriage the two, guys. You can't marriage the two. Trouble happens. Because what mom does is she's going to pour more and more and more to make sure that you spend more time with her. She'll even call on certain days that she knows it's her wife's birthday. Mom call, "Hey, boy, I need you to do something. Mom, I understand. I got to do it another day. It's my wife's birthday." So when family acts up, come on up, baby. Give me 8 people. Just come on up. Just 8 people right here. Oh, yeah, it don't matter. We had a cookout. I know everybody get up there. You're here. This my. I got some sisters in my family too, don't I? Family, Megan, you ain't there? All right. Okay. All right. Okay. So I'm at a cookout. This is my family. Who I'm holding? So the cookout people start talking about my wife. All right, guys. See y'all. Follow me? Next cookout we have, until I hear forgiveness and apologies, then me and my wife, we going somewhere else. What y'all going to say about me? I'm henpecked, been called that. Boy, she got your nose wide open. So what? You whip. So what? Whip it. But I done been with y'all before, and now I'm sold out to her. That's who I made my vows to. Amen. Y'all have a seat. Hope that clears stuff up. And see, she didn't get a cut. She didn't get a cut. So when you're ready, just let me know. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? Okay. Remember that we talked about earlier that healing can come if you dare. The answer is there if you care to, but most of all, if you dare to. Okay. Yes, sir.
I just got a question. When you say, have you experienced a deep betrayal and deep hurt? What if you was a person, let's say you were in your marriage, and I was a person that inflicted the betrayal and hurt on my wife, just a general example.
Okay.
And she forgave me but wouldn't forget. What's my responsibility after I'm trying to get her to forgive me to let it go?
Okay,
let's say she's going to forgive me, but she won't let it go. So at what point do I say, hey, I've apologized for the betrayal and hurt that I caused you and for us to move on?
Okay. All right, y'all hear his question? Yeah. All right. So this deep. Let's say you good. Let's say you cheated for 6 months. Okay. So your wife don't trust you, but she has up to, I don't recommend this, she has up to the same time that you cheated to forgive you. So if you cheated on her for 6 months, she has up to 6 months to forgive you. But her body is going to take the blunt of that if she doesn't forgive you. Now, once she starts the process of forgiveness, your part is to make sure you always in the place you say you are. So you are accountable for those 6 months, that if you say you are at Billy's house playing pool, she should be able to call you. She should be able to check your phone. All bets are off. She can look anywhere she wants to, because who inflicted the pain? So I lost trust, so I have to regain trust. See, the thing about marriages like that is we expect once I ask you to forgive me for it to be instantaneous. But see, you knew you were cheating for 6 months. She's just finding out about it. So you had 6 months of time to process that relationship that you want her to forget the moment you told her. Y'all need to grab that thing, because I deal with it a lot in relationships where, you know, it's like, you knew you were cheating for 2 years, and then all of a sudden you confess it or get caught. Then all of a sudden, you know, because I acknowledged it, you should forgive me right away. You follow me? So forgiveness always has action attached to it. Okay, good question. Yes, ma'am. Then I got one there. How we get over here? We just start cutting and
that. That visualization was pretty powerful for me, because I watched her let them cut her and kill her, basically. And then I watched your wife say, before nobody even thought about cutting her, I'm not taking no cuts.
No, that's it.
So is it allowing that, and this is just for me, you know, allowing people to treat you a certain type of way without setting up boundaries or basically saying, I don't want that no more. Is that rooted in your worth?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, Sean, go ahead.
Yeah, she put her hand up. Okay.
Okay.
Well,
I just want you to know, you're doing a great job, because Ashley no longer talks about the trash. just want to know. Have y'all heard? Y'all heard her talk about Kristen? In case you didn't know, for 4 years, his wife talked about him not emptying the trash. All right, so she had talked about that. It's been a while, y'all, right? Okay, what she said? I'm emptying it.
Well,
myself.
See, we had to drive the trash to the trash can. Okay. Now I can just walk down my driveway. Okay. It's lovely.
Okay. All right. Thank you, Ashley, for your growth. Okay, she's not looking at me. She's shaking her head. Okay.
But I wanted to say to Miss, you said it was Miss Monica.
Monica.
Mm-hmm. We kind of experienced that firsthand where, you know, it would be some hurtful things, and I just, me personally, I didn't want to keep seeing my wife cry. If I don't make her cry, I don't usually take it lightly if somebody else tried to make her cry, even though it was my mother-in-law, and, you know, I kind of took crap for a long time while I was not her husband. But one day it was enough, so it's changed drastically since then. So if, you know, being that was her mom, and she may not have stood up for herself because it was her mom, it's not my mom, but I didn't do it in a disrespectful manner, but the point still came across.
Okay. All right. You got one here? Your job as a husband is to protect your wife. She shouldn't have to say anything. Somebody rude, say something rude, family, management, store, parent. Hey, you don't talk to my wife like that. It's just that simple. That's your job. He put us as to who? That's not popular.
Now, if someone had hurt you or something like that, and you tell them that you forgive them, and you tell them, but I won't forget, Is that really saying that you forgive that person?
That's not forgiveness.
I didn't think so.
Because, okay, all right, so I said in words what my body is going to start processing. You follow me? Because remember, there's no such thing as an unexpressed emotion that goes somewhere and it does something. So I'm going to forgive you. That's my lip service. Scripture in Romans talks about obey from the heart. Sometimes we don't have the capacity to do something, but he say obey from the heart. So you can tell God on your way, Father, I'm going to forgive this person, but I'm telling you, I'm having a struggle with this thing. I don't want to do it, but I'm going to obey from the heart. As you're going there, he works with your heart to produce the outcome of what your words just said. You follow me? Yes, sir.
When you did that demonstration about the cut, my question is, every time someone cuts you, does the cut get bigger? Like, when you did, I thought of like somebody taking like a nail.
Yeah, Faith took a little credit card. She just cut. Right. I mean, her name tag. Yeah.
So now you get a nail, and then the next one you may get a knife, and the next one you may get something bigger than a knife. Mm-hmm. Does it always become bigger?
Well, we'll see. It's like this, because I'm. What's the word I'm looking for? Acceptable. What is that word? Where you can, susceptible. So once I get so many cuts, it don't take a big one to kill me because I'm already bleeding. Okay. You follow me? So they can come with a little nail. They don't have to come with, because I'm already bleeding. You know, it's like your immune system gets weaker every time you get cut. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so I guess we on unforgiveness today.
My favorite topic.
And so I'm pretty sure a lot of people have had stuff done to them. Right. So, you know, to make you not want to deal with people.
Gotcha.
So in my situation, I'm not coming from like a mother-in-law situation, but it is like an in-law.
Uh-huh.
And we just never meshed from day one.
Okay.
And so I'm pretty sure I said some things to hurt her and she said some things to hurt me.
Okay.
Okay. But I guess my question is, I mean, I believe I'm in forgiveness, Pastor. You laughing. But
I'm laughing because you laughing.
I believe.
It's called mirroring. I'm mirroring your behavior.
So I'm just going to say, it's going to lead up to my question.
Okay, all right.
Somebody, you know, did something to me, and, you know, we went back and forth, and I decided, well, I'm not going to be around you for the upcoming holiday. It was like Thanksgiving or something coming up. And then this person was really upset that we weren't coming. But I said, I don't feel comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
Not because of what you might do, but because of what I might do.
Ooh.
Because this person kept on saying, well, we not going to do nothing to her. I know you're not going to do nothing to me. Because number one, I'm not going to come. That's number one. But number two, I ain't no slouch. You know, so if I do come, trust me, I'm okay. But I guess my question is, so I didn't go because, you know, I've grown, Pastor. I've been here for 5 years. I've grown.
Okay.
So I didn't go, you know. So, but I did feel like this person was, you know, was apologetic even though they never apologized. Mm-hmm. So I guess my question is, I mean, you want to give people a second chance.
Okay.
You know, so how do you know when, okay, now maybe let's try this again.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
It's kind of like with her situation. Yeah. Oh, so I'm only going to be around her for a time. Okay, well, she's still hurting you. Okay, but so we're going to break it down a little bit more. Okay. And then once you break it all the way down, do you build it back up again or you just leave it like that?
Okay, all right, that's a good question.
I'm sweating. Shoot.
All right, so write this down, people. We teach people how to treat us. So what am I teaching her about how to treat me? Okay? We teach people how to treat us. So what am I teaching you about how to treat me? Am I ready to teach some more? So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. I got 7 people that I enjoy being around for the holidays. But you keep hurting me every time I go over to your house. So I said, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Have a ball over at their house. So what I'm going to do is, I'm going to take that ball, and I'm going to take it to a place of pain. Does that make sense to you guys?
No.
I enjoyed being with them because I taught them how to treat me, and they taught me how to treat them. But I got something to prove to you. I'm going to prove I can take your pain. I got all them. I'm leaving all that goodness. Don't y'all throw no God thing on me. God left heaven to come to earth. That's totally different. I know it's coming, but I know it's coming. You got to make a decision, though, seriously. I mean, you can timeline it, you know. Sean, you drive your car, I'm driving my car. I've done that before, going to events where I'm driving separate because that way I can leave when I want to. Because you get ugly when people are offending you and you can't get away. Yeah. Yes, sir, buddy. No, sir, I'm driving my car. And it's not blocked either. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm parking across the street and putting that space in between. Yes, sir, buddy. you ain't blocking me in. Call an Uber if I have to, but I'm leaving that house.
Got an example. Oh, this happened years ago. My brothers and I, my brother came in town.
Okay.
And we all went to play some basketball.
Okay.
This was years ago. And my mother, I think, was it Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
It was Thanksgiving. And we got when we got back, all my brothers and I went in the kitchen. Okay. And my mom has fixed a tray of yams. We ate the yams.
Okay. All
right. The yams supposed to be for the dinner, right?
Uh-huh.
So my mother, all 5'2" of her.
Okay,
all
right.
Exploded.
Okay, all right.
With her sons, uh-huh. Not with her daughter-in-laws. But she literally exploded okay. At us. She okay. Didn't say anything to okay. My wife, my brother's wife, but she just laid into us.
Okay.
So, but one of my sister-in-laws wanted to challenge her.
Okay. Why y'all breathe in on up?
She made a huge mistake.
Okay.
Because my mother made it clear this was between her and her sons about
okay.
This.
Okay.
Had nothing to do with y'all relationship.
Okay.
My sister-in-law had a hard time accepting that.
Okay.
But at the end of the day, she was fixing new yams. My sister-in-law went back to the store and bought some sweet potatoes and made some.
Okay.
So was my mother? She made it clear she was talking uh-huh. To her mm-hmm. Sons.
Yeah.
If she wasn't talking to her. Mm-hmm. Her daughter-in-laws.
Right.
Would that be okay, the way she handled that?
Yeah, she made it clear. I'm talking to them.
Yeah.
So it wasn't like whoever the sister-in-law was, she was just talking to her husband. She was talking to all of the boys. Yeah. So she made that clear. Yeah. All right. I'm going to do the creed, boy. Come on, one more time. You're not getting cut. Come on, one more time. Come on. Come on, one more time. Yeah. I'm going to put somebody else in there. All right, so and y'all take this. I just saw this in the realm. So if the husband is not protecting his wife, she has the right to protect herself. See, every scripture that you read is collectively and is also individually. So that scripture says a wise man sees danger and hides himself. That's for us as a couple, and it's up for us as individual. You follow me? So if she sees the danger that I'm not man enough to stand up for, she needs to use her power to stand up for herself. Now, it's not going to end well. You follow me? It's not going to end well because your wife can have sex with you based off a need she might have. Whereas a lot of times men take sex as we back together again. Y'all follow me? Y'all breathing kind of deep. You follow me? Because if that issue is not resolved, remember women think emotionally. See, we can compartmentalize stuff. Y'all understand what I mean? We can have the flu and still have sex. You follow me? Women, they thinking it's the house clean, it's the baby. Okay, all right, go ahead. It's true, that's why I used the example. She said, you got the flu, brother. Well, so what's wrong with that? Anyway, where was I? Yeah, you got mine. She shook me on up. Where was I? Oh, men compartmentalize. If we're cutting the grass, all we're thinking is the grass. A woman is thinking multiple things. Am I lying on y'all? If I am, please tell me. It's, you know, how to dishwash. I got to wear Sunday's outfit. Is there pick it up? Y'all throw some stuff at me real quick. It's the bills paid. Laundry done. It's the trash taken. Did they put the toilet seat there? Did you wash the car? We'll have something to eat for the rest of the week. Are the kids in bed? The door locked, so they better be in there. But what we thinking? Guys, what we thinking? Let's go. What are they thinking about? So now, you don't defend your wife. That's one more thing added to her compartment. And remember what I said about unforgiveness, about the colors? When she see you, she's seeing what? Okay. Thank you, honey. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Yeah, ain't nothing wrong with it. Y'all just don't know how much I look forward to Sunday. All right? So mind and repeat after me. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, I forgive myself. The congregation is not looking at me. It's not looking at me. They're not judging me. So I can continue to come back because it was just an example. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. All right, guys, let's do our creed.
This concludes today's message on Challenge to Change, where real transformation begins with you, with Pastor Paul Morgan. If you are ever in the Richmond, Virginia area, join Pastor Paul for Sunday service at 10 a.m. at Chosen Generation Ministries. The website is www.chosenrva.com or call at 866-333-9505.